Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And we welcome you to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Before we get into a discussion with our guests, I just want to tell you about an email we received. And we always love these, and I don't think we toot our own horn often enough. This is from a woman in the U.S. I won't give her name. She said, "Just wanted to express my deepest gratitude for all the efforts and all the work you are both doing, raising awareness, educating, informing about life-saving alternatives. Your podcasts are priceless. Looking forward to listening to each new episode. Thank you, angels on earth." That was nice, wasn't it, Corey?
That's very nice. Very, very nice.
And joining us today to tell her story of her ongoing thyroid cancer is Katie Hazen from Oklahoma City. Katie, good of you to do this. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, when you were first diagnosed with thyroid cancer in 2017, what sort of symptoms were you experiencing before you were finally diagnosed with cancer?
Actually, I had thought that I was having some kind of thyroid problem for quite some time because I was putting on a bit of weight, even though I had a good diet and I went to the gym. But I still kept putting on weight, and I felt tired a lot. I felt not like myself. And when I looked at my symptoms, I thought that I had something wrong with my thyroid. So that's initially what I went to the doctor to try to figure out.
And then you went to the doctor, and what did the doctor tell you?
Actually, I had a really difficult time with it because most of the doctors that I saw would feel around my neck and say that they didn't feel anything suspicious, or they'd do my labs and say that my labs came back all right. So they would suspect that nothing was wrong. So it actually wasn't until about a year later I got into a horrible accident, and they actually had to end up scanning my neck to see if my neck was broken, and they found it then.
You were in a car accident?
No, actually, I fell off of a second story balcony.
Oh, were you sober?
Yes, I was. I had just moved into an apartment. And I had a gathering with some friends that helped me move, and we were outside, and I leaned up against the balcony, and it just gave way.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and myself and another person just went tumbling down. But if it wasn't for that, I would have never found my cancer. So.
But do you live in the same apartment still?
No.
Now, when you had the observation by the doctors, what did they tell you?
When I first got diagnosed, they sat me down and said, "Well, your biopsy did come back cancerous, but the good news is that if you have to get cancer, this would be the kind that you want to get because it's the easiest to get rid of and the easiest to maintain." But they said that without actually knowing how far along and how bad it actually was. So it was like a short-lived comfort at that point.
So how far along was it?
They said that with surgeries and treatments, they might be able to give me another 10 years.
Wow. Now, when you're waiting for your diagnosis, did you ever suspect the big C, or did you just think your levels were off?
No. I just thought that maybe it was kind of a thyroid problem. I never would have thought it was cancer, actually, until when they said that they had found something that I should probably get checked out. They did an ultrasound, and a biopsy. And they came back and said that it was cancer and it should be easy to get rid of. But then when they did more scans and a little looking more into it, it had already gone through into my lymphatic system and started spreading other places. So we immediately had to get into surgeries and radiations. And I've had to have surgeries and radiations every year since.
That, and you have a family too, don't you?
Yes.
So,
yes.
And you got a youngster?
Yes, actually, she's three. I had actually gotten pregnant with her in between one of my diagnoses when I was in remission. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up getting re-diagnosed when I was about 6 months along. And then we had to get her out early because I had to be moved into surgery and radiation as soon as possible.
Boy, that's an emotional shock for you when you have a child and the doctors only give you 10 years.
Yeah, it has been. And it's also really rough because when I go through the treatment, I have to be quarantined through the radiation treatments. And so my children and any animals out of my house. And it will be weeks that I have to go in. I have to just be segregated into one room. Food has to be left at my door. I can't have any physical contact with people. Any adults in my house will still get radiation headaches. It's a process.
So wow. It was because of the radiation that you were receiving and not because of a weakened immune system.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Are you still doing radiation?
I'm not. I've done it three times, and I've had four major surgeries on my throat so far. And I was re-diagnosed for the fourth time in February of 2021. And they said that I didn't have to move into a surgery or a treatment right then, and so I decided I wasn't going to. And that's really when I started getting to talk to people about cannabis and what it could help with.
And tell us how you got into cannabis and started taking it.
Well, I wasn't really a cannabis user before because I was in law enforcement. And so after my first surgery, I started using edibles for pain, and then I got introduced to some people in the industry here in Oklahoma City that knew a lot more than I did, and so they started explaining to me about RSO and what it could do, and I started looking into it myself, and so I decided that that's how I was going to start going about it, trying to treat different tinctures.
So you were a former cop?
I was a corrections officer.
Corrections officer.
Corrections. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So you started using cannabis oil. Tell us about that. Take us through that.
Really, it was just kind of an experimental thing. I started kind of working in the industry, so like samples, like people would try this out, see how it goes. I started working on a regular basis about 9 months ago. See how it would help. So at this point, I'm still going to the doctors every 6 months to monitor. There's been a mass that has uptaken in my lung that we're watching. There's another nodule that's up against my carotid artery in my throat, so they will not try to touch that one really. So the point that we're trying to do is to get those nodules to shrink using the RSO, and I'm using it in capsules and in topicals.
So are you doing any of this rectally? Or are you doing it all orally?
Orally and on the skin. Because I also have nodules that are just under the skin, so they can actually be felt on my neck. Mm-hmm. So it's enough to where I'm using a CBD lotion on my skin above it, and then I take a capsule orally.
Is this a multi-strain oil you're taking?
Yes.
Awesome. I don't know if you're aware, Katie, that the rectal application of cannabinoids is 100 times stronger for THC, 250 for CBD. You might want to consider starting to use that, and you won't get high with it like that either.
Oh, wow. I've actually heard some of that, but here it's been a little more difficult to find, for me at least. I don't know about anybody else, but I've actually just saw something about it the other day and started looking into it.
Right. It just might give you that extra zip to nail this back.
Yeah. At this point, I'm taking, of course, I'm taking a lot more than RSO. I've got friends that have given me gummies that have CBG in them that is said to help.
Awesome.
I just had another scan, I think, about a week and a half ago. And after I had started taking a really high dose. Okay, so I guess I can go back. About a month ago, I had a scan that the doctor said, well, I'm going to scan you again in a month because it's okay, but we're going to see if this is like, because one of my nodules had gotten a little bigger. So my cancer is typically pretty aggressive and fast spreading. So he wanted to check again in a month. So I started taking a really, really high dose of RSO every day for that month just to see if it made any sort of a difference. And it did. They said that one of my nodules looked slightly smaller, but then also one of them looked slightly bigger too. So we're still kind of experimenting with different things.
Interesting. Often when these tumors are dying, they will change shape and appear to be getting larger. So something you might want to keep in mind there. When you say really high dose, Katie, how much were you taking?
So I would take in the morning, I would take a 200 milligram capsule. And then in the afternoon, I would take an 85. And then in the evening, I would take a 400.
Okay, so you're not quite up to a gram a day then?
Not quite, but almost.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So do you feel like you're making progress?
I do, actually. Over the last 6 to 9 months, I honestly feel physically healthier.
Awesome.
In a really long time. I've been able to get out. A lot of my last couple of years have been spent indoors, you know, with doing these radiation treatments and then recovering after them. I feel like it really kind of left nothing left. There was nothing left of me after that. But since I've been able to stop doing that, and it made a world of difference for me.
In what ways besides your energy?
Socially. I've actually been able to go out and people, it's very different for me because there were 3 years where I really almost had little to no human interaction. And so at first when I got out and about, I had horrible social anxiety. But now I've been able to start sharing my story. And it's helped me being able to talk about it. And I feel like it's helped other people.
And I think, Katie, as well, Corey makes a very good point about using cannabis oil as a suppository. The 100 times the strength of THC and 250 times the CBD, I think that would go a long way to helping you. And you could also possibly get up to a gram a day, and then you wouldn't have to worry about getting high during the day. Do you get high during the day?
Yes.
Yeah.
I work in the cannabis industry. Mm-hmm. I work for a magazine, Herbage Magazine, here in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so we are very, very involved. So yeah, I'm a regular medicinal and recreational user, both. But I definitely was a patient first.
How has this? Sorry, go ahead, Corey.
Oh, I was just going to say there are some that would argue that all cannabis use is medicinal.
Yeah.
They just don't realize.
Oh, yeah.
It.
Definitely agree with that too. But
yeah.
Yeah.
How has your isolation impacted your, I guess, your relationship with other people, and also how has it affected you and your family?
That's been a really difficult part for me. I lost a lot of people in the process, you know, because everyone else's life goes on. They can't stop living just because you're stuck in this room day after day.
Mm-hmm.
So really the loneliness is ridiculously unbearable. And then I really kind of started to lose faith in people. You know, my best friends stopped checking on me and, you know, life went on. And so my children, so I have a 15-year-old now, but she had to start homeschooling back when I first got diagnosed because I was on my own and she helped me out. So it's been, you know, she's kind of grown up a lot in the last couple of years helping me. A lot of things have changed.
That's a lot. That is a whole lot to go through.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I still feel like I have effects from it. I still wonder, you know, at what point, because I'm still kind of going through this, or, you know, the relationships that I've made since then, are those going to disappear? You know, so there's still a lot of kind of anxiety that comes with it, which I also treat with marijuana. ultimately, though, I have a really good outlook. It's just changed everything. I don't feel hopeless. I don't feel like it's the first time that I don't feel like I'm on a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah, it's tough when they tell you you've only got 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And though it almost seems desensitized, because it's like they say it almost so nonchalantly,
mm-hmm.
you know, with surgeries and treatments, we can probably give you another 10 years.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's like, man, that's not even seeing my oldest kid graduate. And it's, you know, that stuff gets to you really bad. I really felt like those words were true every time that I had to go back and do a treatment. It just, the isolation and the recovery time, and it's just, it really makes you wonder if it's even worth it.
Well, you know, I think, Katie, for yourself, going through this treatment is hard enough. But to have that side effect of having to be in isolation added to the mix, that must have been absolutely horrible.
It was. My first time, it was about 2 months. And then the second time, I think it was about 6 weeks. And the third time, it was about another 6 weeks. it's just the worst. It is the worst. I could not see doing that year after year until I couldn't anymore.
It sounds like I started to get hopeless
about it. Like, it's not worth trying to continue because I'm getting re-diagnosed every 6 months. And so I was really at that low point. And I started getting introduced to this. And I really kind of fell into it by accident. It was someone that I met that I started talking to about it. Just, it was a nonchalant conversation that we sat down, and like 2 hours later, I'm like, okay, well, I should start trying these things, because it can't be any worse than where I'm at right now.
Would you?
And it actually started getting better.
Yeah. Would you ever do radiation and surgery again?
I don't know. I might do the surgery. But I don't know if I would do the radiation again. I had the conversation. It's kind of, it's a little bit of a tough subject between my family, because they think that it's recommended by the doctor that I absolutely should, but I think that it just takes too much away. There are parts of you that don't come back after that.
Yeah, we interviewed a fellow podcast before you in the UK who underwent radiation treatment every day for 20 minutes a day for 6 months. And he had brain cancer. And he was told that the radiation stays in your body for 10 years. And he's halfway through it. And he was given, what was he given, Corey, about 14 months to live?
Something like that, yeah. Jason.
And Jacob. I called him Jason as well.
And no, it's Jason.
Is it Jason?
Yeah, Jason Delacan.
Oh, I got it backwards. Anyway, he was given a diagnosis of 14 months. That was 5 years ago. But his battle now is with the radiation effects, because it stays in your body. And he still has trouble with his double vision. But I think, you know, if you stick with the cannabis program, you know, and we talk to you by the end of this year, I think you should be in great shape. As long as you have the right materials in that cannabis product you're taking.
Yeah, I think too. I've really felt, there was a time when a couple of months ago, so I've taken it, you know, regularly every day, I had allowed myself to run out for a couple of days. And I started feeling really bad again, to where the point I called my doctor and I said, I'm starting to, it sounds really weird, but I'm starting to feel like I have cancer. And it's such a weird thing to say, because I have it, but I have felt, using this product, I have felt healthy than I have in a year. And when I didn't use them for a few days, I started noticing the actual physical effects.
Yeah.
It was so so to me, I fully believe in it, and I am fully convinced from my own personal that it's making the world of difference.
How has your daughter dealt with this, your 15-year-old daughter?
It's been pretty difficult for her. She shuts down a lot. She kind of holds a lot of things in. It's a tough age. It's a tough age to be just for a normal girl, you know, going through that. But then to have your mom so sick, and, you know, when I had my first throat surgery, that it ended up paralyzing my right vocal cord. So there was 2 years I couldn't speak above a whisper.
Oh my God.
Which I ended up to have another surgery to correct that. I've had neck dissections. So I've got scars going from like ear to ear almost. So she's watched me go through all of that. So it's been pretty tough for her.
Yeah, I mean, she's scared, right?
Yeah.
And who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be? I mean, it's a tough thing to see that, you know, what your mother is going through, and and how distressed that she has become, and the surgeries that you've had to endure, the radiation, the isolation. I mean, you know, a 15-year-old should be out having fun.
Yeah, definitely.
But when this is
actually her first year back in public school in about 4 years.
Wow.
Has been this year. So she's also going through a bit of an adjustment period with it. But yeah, I feel like we're slowly getting back on track to normalcy.
And I think once you resolve this, and I have every confidence that you will resolve it, she will be your biggest fan.
Yeah. Yeah, we have definitely, we've got a bond. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that every parent has a bond with their children, but I definitely think we have a special bond. She's grown up so much because she's really had to. And she's handled everything so well, and I'm really proud of her.
Yeah, that's nice. Katie, what would you like to say to folks who are listening to this, who may be somewhat hesitant about taking cannabis?
It's a hard decision, because even when you are talking to people about cannabis and using it, that everyone's going to have their own opinions and everyone's going to be telling you what to do. And it's hard and it's overwhelming, but it's absolutely worth it. It's not painful. You don't have to be alone. In fact, you will find such a support system in the cannabis community at all. So then you've got, it's just worth it. Look into it. Do your own research if it gets overwhelming, but it's worth it.
Yeah, very well said. Katie, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Keep us posted, Katie, on how you're doing, eh?
All right, I will do. And thank you guys so much. It was so nice talking to you.
Thanks for coming on, Katie.
And we'd like to apologize to our listeners for the quality of some of that podcast. We blame Skype. We use Skype, so let's blame them. We'd like to thank you, dear listener, for helping us out at Cannabis Health Radio, and we'd like to offer you the challenge of saving someone's life by sharing our podcasts with others in the hopes that they will learn more about cannabis and how some of these people have used cannabis to essentially save their own life. And if you'd like to support us, we have no sponsors on Cannabis Health Radio. You are our sponsor. And if you'd like to support us, there are a few ways you can do it. You can become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 a month on our Patreon page. And you can also make a one-time donation through our website. This can all be done through our website at cannabishealthradio.com. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.